the producers.
As I transition into other forms of imaging and other stuff you're doing, why don't we play some stuff that you're doing in New York City? Tell me a little bit about that. I mean, it's Now FM.
Yes. Well, the situation came about when they let someone go. Chris Cole, who actually I still talk to, is him and I used to run what we called the CHR imaging team, where we took a bunch of the CBS CHR guys and we would have conference calls and go over what we were doing and brainstorm, kind of kick up ideas. Well, they let him go, and they needed someone to kind of do the imaging until they found a full-time replacement. So I've been doing that for a couple of months, and it's been cool. It's been working with that. I mean, it's Radio Market One. It's where everyone wants to be. It's, you know, the legendary Dave Fox is in that market, and Dom Nero at Hot 97, who's a great guy, and I've worked with him in the past. Those guys, to be in that market, it's like, wow. My wife's like, I don't get it. You're just doing more work. I'm like, no, but it's New York. You don't understand. It's the capital of the world. So doing stuff there has been just great, and getting to work with the staff over there is awesome too.
Let's hear a demo of that, and I'll talk about that a little bit more. Here's some Mike Horn imaging from Now in New York.
I was born in New York City!
WXRK-FM at HD1, New York.
Live from Soho to the five boroughs, the tri-state, and beyond.
This is New York's 92.3 Now. Here's the new house in Brooklyn.
Welcome to the Empire State.
A big house.
Home of the World Trade.
The house that overbuilt.
Rockefeller headquarters.
And when it finally opens this fall, Jay-Z is gonna bring the house down.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
92.3 Summer Stays Live. With tickets to see Jay-Z live at Barclay Center in Brooklyn September 28th. He's gonna be there for 8 shows. And you get to go to number 1.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Jay-Z live at home. You in free. In first. Why just get a what when you can take a friend to see Jay-Z free? New York's 92.3 Now.
America is 236 years old today. And yet, every year on the 4th of July, when you see the raucous red glare, the bombs bursting in air, it's like we're born again. Born in New York. Live in New York. Born to be 92.3. No.
So obviously great stuff. Stays, I guess, start by telling me either, I don't know, philosophical differences or direction that you were given, you know, why or how is that different from what you're doing in Chicago?
Sure. It's, I'm not doing the writing, and the writing is done by Gillette, the PD there. And that guy, it's funny. We talk about the Chicago landscape. He was, the program director at KISS. Our competition when they finally got ahead of us in Arbitron, and he's really good at what he does, and his writing is amazing. And to be able to work with him, it's cool because it's completely different than, you know, how things are here. And we from the perspective of, you know, how long pieces are and the way that things are aimed or geared. You know, when we do things here, we're kind of straightforward. We tell you what we're giving away, how you win. And there he kind of veils things, you know, in more of like some double entendres that we use. Instead of, you know, it's Usher tickets, win your Usher tickets all weekend. He's like, we're giving you a three-way with Usher. Pick your tickets to one of three shows. So, you know, it's more clever writing than we do here. And it's less of the production overload. There are legal IDs, there are sweepers, they all run over songs. So there's no, you know, it's just a sound effect and then doing some cool vocal effects and maybe throwing in a vocal drop or two. But there's not as much, what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, there's not as many production elements you need to build into the...
Absolutely. There's not as much emphasis on the actual production. It's more of making things fit with, you know, the words of the script. So it's cool, and it's been a blast. Having to go out there a couple times for market research, as I put it to my wife, gave me a great opportunity to check out the city, and I'm a huge fan of New York. It's amazing.
Tell me one thing that you like about Now that is better than B96, and then the opposite.
Let's see. Well, I should start with what I like about B96.
Okay.
because my bosses might listen. the ability to do some of that, you know, production that nobody else except myself would probably notice, to build a bed and to take, you know, and kind of remix a Nicki Minaj song to turn it into a background for a promo, or to do those things. And I do them on occasion in New York, but on New York, it's more about the writing and you know, yeah, getting the message in that way. So I like that. I like being able to be challenged creatively and to be able to go, you know, and to call Josh in from the other studio and go, dude, see this? That's 16 tracks, you know? but in New York, I love the way that he writes with humor, and you know, as opposed to just beating you over the head with what we're doing. Hey,
right,
you know, listen to Win. So-and-so's coming to town. We've got your tickets. Listen to Win,
mm-hmm,
which is kind of what we do here. So the ability to make things, you know, creative and to work on things from that perspective.
Now, tell me about, in fact, you're also doing work in Detroit. I'll get to that in a little bit, but I want to hear your opinions. Do you take the time? Because I'll be honest, I used to take a lot more time myself listening to other stations' imaging. And I think I've mentioned this in previous podcasts, but over the years, I've just sort of stopped doing that myself. Do you take time to check out other stations, either in market or around the country, and you know, and pull ideas from that?
Yes, and it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was just having a conversation with Jeff Thomas about that. About he, you know, because he's based in Australia, so
sure,
to stream, you know, radio stations from the States over there, it's difficult, and he has to fake his IP address. And with the advent of the, you know, the different radio apps that you can get on your iPhone, and my, what, 3 hour a day commute, something like that.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I live about 40 miles from the city. I live out in the suburbs. My wife and my kids and I, we like having our space and being, mm-hmm, able to, you know, ride our bikes to the park and that kind of stuff. So I spend, let's see, I leave my house at 7:30 and get here at 9:30. So the trip home's a little bit quicker, but I spend probably 4 hours a day on my commute. So I definitely get the usage out of my iPhone and stream different markets to hear what different people are doing and check out
podcasts.
The sounds.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I'm the dork that listens, you know, when the songs come on, I'm punching out because I want to hear imaging come on.
I was just going to say, and then is it also where when you're driving in the car with your wife and kids and normal people would turn the radio down when imaging or commercials come on, and you're the guy like me probably that turns it up and everyone has to be quiet?
You know what? It's very funny because I've trained my kids and my wife's kids. And they know that when the commercials or the, because I voice a lot of the commercials here still.
Yeah.
When those come on, you know, you listen for those. My son picks up on things all the time now. He's 13, and he'll, you know, he'll hear like a voiceover for a commercial on TV or something and go, what was that guy doing? Oh, that was just bad. And even my daughter does that. So
terrible work. That's
just
awful.
Yeah, exactly.
Since you mentioned having a lot of time to listen to other stuff, I kind of have two questions then. Is there a station somewhere in the country that stands out to you as one you love to listen to? And I'm talking for the imaging, not the music, but you know, that really stands out to you? In fact, answer that, and then I'll ask you my second one.
Sure. I'm a fan of the stuff that Jake does for his, what is he doing, three stations now? I don't know if he's doing all three, but I know that
his
voice is on.
They were hiring someone in San Diego full
time.
I don't know if he's still doing that.
And he was involved with the launch of the new station in Boston, too.
Oh, okay.
At least it sounds like his work. So, you know, I like his stuff. His ability to... I've actually reached out for him. His ability to incorporate the listeners, which is big, you know, in our company, they talk a lot about that. And, you know, not as much the voice of the, you know, the deep voiced imaging guy or they want to have the listener explain more of why, you know, why they listen to the radio station. And so,
just so people know, you
do that.
Awesome. You said Jake, we're talking about Jake Kaplan.
Jake Kaplan,
in
sorry,
LA.
Yes. For AMP and Energy in San Diego. And I think he's doing the AMP in Boston as well. So yeah, he's, I like listening to his work. His, ability to incorporate listeners is unbelievable. I reached out to him and asked him, how do you do it? You know, how do you get such good listener audio and make it work? So he's been really cool. It helped out.
What was his answer?
They have a team of people that when their promotions people go out, they always bring a recorder with. And it's a great place, you know, when you're doing an event, it's not just man on the street thing, because if you walk up to somebody on the street, they might not be passionate about your radio station.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, if they're at a concert that you're putting on with Flo Rida, and, you know, those are the people that are going to gush about your radio station, and it's going to translate into your production. You know, they're going to sound like very up-tempo and match the flow of the music and stuff. So that was one of his answers, and his, you know, training them, which is what I've taken a huge effort to do, is to kind of tell our promotions people, look, you know, this is what we're looking for. We want them to sound natural. You're not just handing them a sheet of paper and having them go B96, you know, you kind of finesse it and get them to talk about in their words, not your words. So he was really, really helpful with that, sent over a script, and then I kind of adapted for our station. So
also then tell me about market. I mean, Chicago does still have some very good radio, but as you've had a chance to peruse the different markets, is there a, you know, compare Chicago to other markets, basically, is what I'm asking.
Sure. One of the things that I noticed when I was in New York, and one of the things I think that separates, you know, that market from some of the other markets is the ability for them to be PPM friendly, but to still get their message out. Mm-hmm. And I mean the jocks in particular, because, you know, I've heard jocks on other stations where they'll ramble on for 30 seconds, you know, trying to tell you something. A great example is I air checked Z100 just to kind of hear what their imaging was. And while doing that, I listened to JJ, who does afternoons there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was around Christmas time when Bieber had that Christmas song out. And he did a break where he went, that sounds familiar, and hit the hook of Jason Mraz, I'm Yours. And the two sound ridiculously similar. And he goes, wait a second. And that was it. Boom. Into the next song.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't do the whole, you know, because you would hear it in other markets, you know, this is...
Right.
Blah, blah, blah radio. And, you know, I was listening to the Justin Bieber song and noticed that it kind of sounded like another song that we play. And then, you know, play that.
And then lock out with calls and slogan and
exactly,
time and temperature. Right.
Exactly. So he's able to do it, you know, quick, but you got what he was saying. It wasn't just where he was cutting out words to save time. He was using better words. And I think that that's one of the huge things is, the ability for the jocks and even the production people to make their point, but to do it quicker and more effectively. So that's one of the huge things that I've noticed. And New York's really good for that. They're, you know, their staff, it sounds like they don't talk much, and they still talk, but it doesn't sound like it. So you're not giving, you know, my wife and the kids the opportunity to punch. So
Let's go to Detroit, shall we? Who doesn't want to go to Detroit? You image Amp in Detroit. And when I talk to you, you and I have actually communicated a ton recently. So I feel like we've known each other for years, but,
absolutely.
I get the impression that you're really proud of that station. And I think you're not most comfortable. You're very comfortable with everything that's happening on Amp in Detroit. Is that right?
Yeah. And, I think, I'm trying to be political here. I think that the working with Rain, the PD there, has been great. And like I said, I've learned a lot from him. Like his ability to write things from a female perspective. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that he's a guy that probably goes on a lot of dates. He's a single guy. Because
I was
going to
say it in a more crass manner. I don't know the guy, but I was going to say it in a more crass manner. That's a very good way to put it. There you go.
So was I, too. And it's funny because I thought about that when I was discussing it with one of my radio friends, the difference between the three PDs that I work for. And I was trying to think of a nice way to put it. But, yeah, he knows what women want to hear, and he's really good at how he crafts his words, and he gives me the freedom to, you know, if if I think that I want to take the promo in a different direction or I want to use a different angle, I could just go ahead and do it. And he's cool with it as long as, you know, I play it for him. And he's like, yeah, it's great. He's easy to work with.
It's always great to work with smart PDs. There's just nothing better. But before I play some samples from that, some stuff you sent me from Amp in Detroit, about the right. Okay, so, you know, you're at B96. You might have a much larger hand in everything that goes on because you're right there. But
sure.
A station like that, are they pretty much just saying, like, here's the copy. I've already sent it to the voice guy, which I think is Jake, right?
Yes, at Amp, yes.
Yeah, and then they're just like, you produce this? Or do they send you, like, bullet points and you still have to write some of that? You know, because with a major market side business sort of station, you know, contracted job, I'm just wondering how much you have, you know, how much you're a part of the actual content.
He's been really good where he does the writing and he'll send it out. And because Jake's on West Coast time and Jake gets in a little bit later than we do, if there's something that I see, I can go, you know what? I like this, but I want to change this line around. Or he gives me the creative freedom to do that. And luckily, we're able to send it out and he'll go, hey, this is revised. And we actually have Christine on that station too.
Nice.
Which is very, very helpful because I can take lines that she's cut for them or for New York because she's on it now also.
Mm-hmm.
So the only difference is the male voice on all three stations. So I'm able to, you know, kind of use the same sound and feel from her. And now I do use her different reads because New York, they want her to sound a little different than she does here and in Detroit. But
explain that. Actually, go into that a little bit. You know what? No, forget it. Let's hear some Amp audio, and then we'll come back and get into more about that, about the way you use things differently.
Okay, cool.
Four quick and easy steps to become a pop music superstar on Detroit's new 98.7 Amp Radio. Step one, shout out an area code. Step two, mumble 3 to 4 words in Spanish. Step three, list off 3 or 4 cities, preferably with an ocean or beach. Step four, rhyme words like sexy or señorita. Congratulations, you've just made a Pitbull song.
All weekend, get tickets to see Pitbull at DTE next Saturday.
Plus, get qualified to see Mr. 305 backstage before the show.
Está tan rica, mamita, ten cuidado porque si te cojo de mojo, ya tú sabes.
From Detroit's new 98.7 Amp Radio.
Hey, this is Carly Rae Jepsen on my station.
So again, obviously great imaging production. That's Amp Detroit. Let me let you talk about that a little more in a bit. But we were talking about Christine, for example, and how you have the same female talent in all three places, but you use her differently. Describe the difference in her read and why she's being told to be different in both places.
Sure. Well, she, I don't know if they necessarily told her, they kind of explained to me, because she's always, for all of the stations, she'll send different reads. There's one, the low and breathy
yeah.
kind of read. Then there's the more, I'm a cheerleader and I was out with my friends. And then there's one that's kind of in between. And for the imaging, and now in New York, they kind of want her to sound more conversational and more, you know, less produced. So mm-hmm. I don't filter her voice. I don't, you know, hammer her with different flanges and different effects. It's more just kind of straightforward in New York, where, you know, her track will just be a compressor, you know, and maybe a little bit of EQ.
Just kind of pop up the high end, give her a little sizzle maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. then a gate, because she, you know, she sends it flat with nothing on it. So it's just the basic stuff that goes on there. Whereas, you know, for B and Amp, I kind of make her sound, you know, a little more produced. She'll have some effects on her and sound, you know, kind of not necessarily computerized, but more of that, you know,
yeah.
transmission started, that kind of stuff. So,
and you're using her lower read on those stations?
Yeah, depending. Now, when we do stuff here at B or there, where she's kind of the main voice and carrying the promo instead yeah. of just an accent voice.
Yeah.
Then, you know, then I use that more of the up-tempo read. And it depends, you know, on what the promo is for, too.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
So, yeah, but her ability to pull them all off is awesome. It's good.
So for people that are curious, like for Amp, for example, how much stuff are you being sent for that station? You know, about how much work is going into that for you?
It kind of depends. One of the beautiful things is that they're on the Kilohertz too. They're one of our client stations, mm-hmm. so I can kind of just use the shells that I've built for Kilohertz for, you know, some of the you know, new music now playing, or the, you know, these are the songs we're playing, music imaging kind of stuff. I can just drop Christine in, and in fact, I use her on some of the examples on Kilohertz, you know, her actual amp stuff. So, I mean, I'm still kind of doing what I would do for B, just on a, you know, a little bit of a smaller scale, where it's not the, you know, the morning show promo that I produce every morning, or, you know, a lot of that kind of day-to-day production. It's more of the weekend promos, or, you know, new music intros, that kind of stuff. So it's, I'd say it's probably about half of what I would normally do, you know, like I do here.
Mm-hmm.
So, and once the tour of duty with Now is over, when they eventually find someone full time, then I can kind of kick in a little bit more. I feel bad about that. Sometimes it's, you know, I have in my studio a dry erase board that's divided into three columns, and then there's 5 days for each column, because I literally have to plan out, okay, well, New York needs this by Friday. Yeah. This needs to be in Detroit by Wednesday, and I kind of have to, you know, juggle.
And the company obviously knows that they have put a lot on the plate of some of their guys, you know, like Jake in LA. I'm sure they have. If I thought off the top of my head, I could probably come up with some other CBS imaging guys that have a lot of different tasks. But
Benny Siegel in San Francisco, he's also one of the guys filling in it Now, so it's not just me. And,
oh, okay.
So he's doing Now in San Francisco and Now in New York, and I'm not sure if he's doing any other stations, but he's a talented producer too. He's been he's one of those guys where he's kind of filled in the void.
Mm-hmm. So they probably also know, and I'm sure there's not really a problem for you to do, you know, you're spending your day in Chicago, but if you are working on Amp Detroit or Now New York, nobody's got a beef with that, as long as, you know, you're getting your Chicago stuff done, right?
Yeah, it's kind
or
of a
wrong.
Delicate. It's kind of a delicate balancing act. I try not to do much for the other markets here. I do that at home.
Oh, really? Is that right?
Hates me for it. Yeah. I do some stuff here, obviously, if it's time sensitive, or, you know, if it's a, hey, you did this weekend promo for us, but, you know, Jay-Z just added 5 more shows, so mm-hmm. we have to swap out one line. I'll do that while I'm here. But in general, my workload here at B is still, you know, pretty much enough to, well, it's certainly enough to get me, you know, like, you know, it's an 8-hour full-time thing. There are a lot of days where I don't take a lunch, and I have my MacBook that I'll work on, you know, on the train. I'll do production in my headphones, and then, you know, check it in my monitors.
What about sessions? You know, if let's say you did have something come in for Now, and the guy, you know, Gillette is like, I need this, you know, now. do you transport some sort of external drive back and forth with you every day just in case, or how do you manage your files?
It's always, I've one of the things that, that I learned from Josh was that it's important to always have your files with you. And so I have a couple of externals. I have one that's my main, and then I have a backup. And then I have my files are mirrored on my computer at home and on my hard drive here at the station. So I always have the exact same sessions with me everywhere I go, and all my audio files. And so that drive's getting close to being full, and it scares me.
Let me ask you a little bit about that technically. So you have a Mac of some sort at home and a Mac at the studio at B?
Yes, yes.
And then you also mentioned a MacBook. But
yep.
So each of those, the home studio and the work studio, each have some sort of a hard drive that you then have mirrored to an external drive?
Yes, I do everything and save everything on my external drive. You know, when I download, you know, new songs that are going into rotation, that's another thing that I have to, when I do music imaging, you know, we pitch our songs up 1.5%. I don't know if I'm giving away a trade secret or not. And
well, it's interesting that it's 1.5 and not 1 or 2, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's weird, I guess, because a lot of stations were doing it at 3 at the time we started doing it.
3 is ridiculous, but
yes,
2 I think is doable.
Two is what they do in Detroit. So when I download a song, I'll have to save like an unpitched version for when I do, you know, like Killer Hertz pieces or things for other, you know, like Killer Hertz mostly. Because obviously if I build something and the song is, you know, is pitched in there, it's going to sound different, you know, when they try to line things up. So I have an unpitched version, then I have a B96 version, then I have an amp version, and I have it all automated. So when I download the song, I drop it into, I use Amadeus Pro. I drop it into the Amadeus Pro, you know, batch processor, and it will pitch it up 1.5%, save it in the B96 folder, then pitch it up 2%, save it in the amp folder, and it will normalize everything. So I have to do that with all these songs.
Do you have some sort of a utility, like a Mac app, that keeps your drives mirrored?
Yes. I use, I can't remember the name of it now.
No, you have to, because I need a good one for myself. This isn't just for the podcast. This is for me.
Yes, it's WD Anywhere Backup, Western Digital Anywhere Backup. I use that. So when I plug in my drive, it looks and says, okay, here are files that are different on, you know, on your external drive. And it will, because I have a backup folder on the hard drive here and then at home, and it will mirror them.
And it obviously has some sort of a setting to keep newest file, I'm assuming, so that if like the external is newer than the home studio, it'll know to keep the external.
Yes, it will always overwrite any file on the where I'm backing it up to on that hard drive. It automatically whatever is different, and if there are files that are on the backup that were not on the that are no longer on my external, it will get rid of them. So.
And does it keep it? I'm sorry, I'm asking you so many questions about that. I can go look it up, actually.
Oh no, it's okay.
I just know it's important. But now everybody, and I think the rule really is you should have 3 copies of all your important data. You do that. You have your studio.
Now I do. Yes, I've learned back before. I've had like 3 hard drives crash here.
Yeah.
And our IT guys, this was back when I was on PC. The IT guys were like, "Oh, I can't help you." I'm like, no, but that's 5 years worth of audio production. You can't just say I can't help you, you know. I need that artist drop from Coolio, damn it.
So who doesn't?
Now I have sitting in here 2 monitors for the PC that died, that I finally got them to buy me a Mac, and the monitors are here. There's nothing hooked up to them.
Yeah, but they're still there as a
oh,
memory.
Oh yeah, they're here.
It's like tombstones. So it's important is all I'm saying, and I haven't really addressed you know, backing up in the past enough. So you're using WD Anywhere Backup. It is a mirroring system. And does it, my final question on it, does it run automatically? Like if you plug the drive in and
yes, every time it's automatically, it's set up. So as soon as I turn on the computer, and even if I turn it on and the drive's not installed, once I hook up the drive, it knows. Once that drive is plugged in, copy everything off of there, back it up. So, and Josh is the one that taught me about that, and he has it set up now too, where he'll bring in his hard drive, and it will, as soon as he plugs in his hard drive, all the information from my external will go right onto his, because he, you know, he keeps a backup for me. Plus, if I'm ever out or, you know, away and something needs to be changed, he has the session. He can just pull it up and fix it on the fly.
Huh.
So, and
cool.
That was really helpful when I was on vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it's just real important for people to keep their stuff backed up.
It's nice. The hard thing about it, and it took me a while to get it squared away, is to have the same plugins on each computer. So when I, you know, I'll go home and open it up and Ableton will say, yo, dumbass, you don't have Effectrix installed on here. You can't use this. And I'm like, oh, so to get and to have the current version, because I'd have, you know, one version here and not the same at home. So it's like, it got to be frustrating after a while, especially with the MacBook, because I don't want to install too many plugins on there, because, you know, it's not a huge hard drive. And so, you know, I've had to kind of pick and choose which ones are really important to me, which plugins do I need. Because, you know, to lay out the kind of cache for that and the hard drive space, you know, for 2 machines that I'm not paying, you know, the station obviously pays for the plugins here, but you know, at home, some of them, you know, you have to have a separate iLock and everything. So it's it was quite a task, but it's been huge, especially given my long commute, to be able to work on the train, you know, on my way in instead of, because I don't drive. Thank goodness I couldn't deal with the traffic.
People always like to know this stuff, but you don't have to go too deep into it. We talked about a lot of your gear at B96 Studios. I can't remember if you mentioned this in the podcast, but you do use a 416 there, which is awesome.
Yes, I love it.
Tell me about the home studio, just a little. Like, what kind of stuff do you have there? What gets you by there?
Sure. It's not as, like, here I have, at the radio station, I have my Mac Pro and I have the two 24-inch displays. At home, I have, and it's been hard to adjust, I know, poor me, with a 27-inch iMac. But it's hard to adjust having one monitor when your plugins are on top of your tracks instead of on a different window where you can tweak them. It's in my file folders, because I'll, you know, just drag things in from the folder. So I have to get used to working with one window again. But I have the 27-inch iMac, the newest model, and nice. I can't remember what the specs are on it. And I have 16 gigs of RAM in there, and my sound card / kind of processing is the Focusrite DSP-24 Pro. Mm-hmm. I think that's the right name. It's cool because it has the Focusrite, it has the compression and gate and EQ all built into the actual like knockout box, so I can plug my mic directly into that. I don't use that unless I'm on the road. I'll use it that way. I just use it as a straight in and out when I'm at home, because I have a Symmetrix 528E mm-hmm. processor at home. Yep. And a Rode NTG3. I didn't want to go full out and pay for the 416 when I could just use the Rode, which is very, very similar. There's not much of a difference. But the processor they have here at the station now, I've fallen in love with, and I want one at home. The Aphex Channel.
Yeah, that, I have one of those. Thing, which model?
I love that. It's just the channel. I'm trying to... It's the one that replaced the... What was it? The 520?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, this is... this one came out... I think it was brand new about a year or so ago, maybe a year and a half ago.
Nice. Cool.
So, yeah, I love it.
I want to ask you kind of my standard closing question, but I wanted to ask you another one, because you're in actually a pretty unique situation in that I've only maybe talked to one or two other people that have had the same job for almost two decades. Just to give some people a little perspective, if you can, tell me about an extremely high point of your tenure there. And maybe if you can bring up a low point of your tenure there to give people some perspective.
Sure. I'm trying to think of what I could say was like.
You can reverse that order too.
Yeah, yeah. The I would certainly say the low point was when they, you know, kind of told me that I had to tighten things up and stop doing some of the personality things that I thought, you know, would build a character for the station. And I took it personally, and I probably shouldn't have. You know, I thought it was like, what, I'm not good enough. My writing's not good enough. My creativity, you know, it's not. And, you know, that was maybe a little over a year ago. And, you know, I took it the wrong way. I took it as me
right.
being the problem.
Not the industry and not
exactly.
the direction of radio. Yeah,
exactly. And instead of realizing that, you know, that's just the way people listen, you know, I took it as a slap in the face, you know, a personal affront. So that was, probably a low point, arguing and trying to, you know, tell everyone in radio that they're all doing it wrong. But, you know, looking back on it now, it probably wasn't that big of a deal. But it was definitely, it made me feel like, well, I've been doing this all these years and for what? The several high points. One of the most recent ones was when the latest numbers came out at AMP in Detroit, and they had a huge, phenomenal month. They've had two in a row where they just keep building. And I really, since they hired Rain, I'm familiar with his work at now in Indy. He was the night guy and down there at one point in time when our night guy, Julian, when the Bears and the Colts were in a Super Bowl, they had a bet and the loser had to do the other one show. So, you know, the Bears lost the Super Bowl, so Julian had to go down and do his show. So I kind of listened to his station and kind of got a feel, and I like the way he does things. And so when we had the big book, he sent an email and thanked me and said he couldn't have done it without my help, which is huge. I've never, you know, no offense to either of my bosses because they're great guys. Yeah. I've just never had them. They've never said, hey, thank you. You know, you do it with, I know that they appreciate me, and occasionally it'll come up, you know, you're doing a great job. But to have him go out of his way and send me an email just for the purpose of telling me that he really liked what I was doing, that was a great thing. So that was cool. And then when Dom Theodore emailed me kind of out of the blue and said that he liked what I was doing when they told me that I could be more creative, and they gave me my writing, because for the longest time I wasn't writing. Mm-hmm. So when he emailed me out of the blue and said that I was, you know, breathing a soul back into the station, and he liked my creativity, and that's when he asked if Chris and I would be part of that national imaging, you know, CHR imaging team, and kind of talk to guys like Jake and get great ideas from him and go, well, you know, here's what, you know, what's coming up. We've got Christmas is coming up in 2 months. What are you guys doing? And so for him to ask me, you know, little old me, who I've kind of stayed out of, you know, the limelight, if you will, or not a lot of people know who I am. So for him to, you know, notice my work and compliment me and want me to be involved, that was also huge.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, you deserve it up there. But yeah, I see what you mean. Sometimes people can get tucked away in a gig and they're doing great work, but since they haven't been bouncing around the country and they're not really out there, you know, you may not know who knows you, but
sure, absolutely.
yeah. And just tell me, finally, you know, if there's somebody young or somebody that's been at it for a decade, and you know, why should they stay with it, or more importantly, what can they do to be successful doing what you do, especially if someone who wants to be in the same place for 20 years?
Sure. Well, I think one of the big reasons that I've been able to last is my adaptivity. I don't know. Boy, I used to have a really good vocabulary. My ability to be a chameleon. And when they say, okay, we want these, you know, these big dramatic pieces, I was able to do that. When it's, you know, hey, dummy, less is more. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm able to do that as well, and able to kind of change the way I produce. I mean, the way I produce for all three of the stations that I produce for now is pretty different. So my ability to be kind of versatile and to not get stuck in that one, you know, that one sound or that one way of producing, I think that's been huge. Also, having pictures of my boss in compromising positions has helped.
No, that's always good. Yeah, everybody should have that.
No, my ability to, I've had to work on it sometimes, because anybody that knows me, I'm not really a big ego guy. I'm not someone who thinks that what I do is, you know, is earth shattering or the biggest thing in the world. But when my bosses tell me that, you know, they don't like something, I've learned that it's not personal, and I've learned to kind of go, okay, you know what? It's what they want. Even if I think differently, mm-hmm. And sometimes I do, obviously, you know, you work with somebody for almost 20 years, you're going to differ on some things, but my ability to kind of put myself, you know, second and go, okay, well, they want it this way, let's do it this way, and let's make it kick ass. So being able to, you know, kind of put my ego in check, I think has helped too.
Yeah. Awesome. Great advice. Great interview. Mike Horn, Chicago, the man. Appreciate it, dude. I very much appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. I'm glad I was able to join you.
There's no better way to celebrate the birth of our country than by giving you the opportunity to get on stage with someone who is the American dream, a woman who is the example of liberty and the pursuit of happiness, a pillar of patriotism, the one and only...
Britney Spears?
Dropping nonstop dance music 24/7.
B96Dance.com. Coming to the Tuscan Ridge Golf Club.
Come out for a day of beer, babes. And, oh yeah, a little golf.
Four!
Z-Rock the Ridge 2010. See how Z-Rock does golf. The producers.
Thanks again, Mike Horn. Obviously, you can tell by that, an extremely nice, down-to-earth guy. Very talented, as we got to hear from a lot of his audio. Just FYI, I decided to close it out there with his actual a voiceover demo he sent me. I wanted to make sure that everybody knew exactly what he sounds like. You hear his voice, you know, kind of secondarily mixed into some of his imaging, but now you know exactly which one is Mike when you hear him. So anyway, thanks to him. I already mentioned in the beginning of part one some of the upcoming guests, but if you'd like to join, I don't know, the information sources of this podcast, you can do so via a bunch of different ways. Email. I have an email list I send out probably once or twice a month at most. I'll send an email just either letting you an episode is ready or that we have guests coming up. And if you'd like to take part and send in questions, you may do so. Also, Facebook.com/prodpod. I am on Twitter. The Twitter is more of a personal thing for me. It's not a podcast Twitter account. Never really had too many people request that. Twitter to me is a little more personal, at least it should be. But I will from time to time make updates on there. That's just Argerine, Twitter at Argerine. Anyway, I'm also on Google Plus along with the other 16 people that use it. So there's a link on my website if you really want to follow the Google Plus feed. And yeah, two sections on the website that I wanted to highlight. I am building up the blog quite a bit. I'm trying to post more relevant and just amazing, brilliant content there on the blog. That's what I do. So if you'd like to check that out more regularly, I promise I am posting more regularly. If you would like to be involved in it, though, I would love to hear from you. You can really just send me some submitted content. If you have some audio you think is awesome, send it to me. I'll post it. But more importantly, in the studio as a fun segment, I'm trying to expand because I am personally, and I think professionally, a lot of people are very interested in not just hearing what people in this business do, but sort of seeing them, seeing where they work, taking a peek at their setup, their studio, and even reading about what they have going on in their own little world. So if you would like to submit for In the Studio, I would love to have you. You got to send me pictures of your studio setup. Obviously, audio is important. If you'd like to send us some audio of what you do, and then tell us a little bit about what you do, including the type of work, whether you're a radio imaging guy, commercial production guy, or gal, voiceover, any of that, send me In the Studio information. And I will post it. And then the other thing I'm doing, because I want to do a little more interview formatted stuff, and sometimes I don't have time for an entire podcast, and you don't have time to listen to an entire hour plus long podcast, I do a 9.5 question segment, do a quick interview with people around the business, and those are building up as well. And we're going real, actually lately I've been going a lot more worldwide on the 9.5 question segments. So check them out, and if you have any information for those, if you think you could be on a 9.5 questions, I'd love to hear from you. And otherwise, I think that's it, right? I think I've said plenty for this episode. Mitch Todd coming up next. Thanks for checking out the Producers Podcast. Bye.
This is the Producers. Have a question, comment, or concern? Email Ryan at ryanontheradio.com. The Producers. Thanks for listening.